Late that night, at about 12 o'clock at night, the whole city was sleeping. Schrager left his house. He carried with him a small leather bag. In his pocket, he had the letter from the Shagistarya that he needed to give to Reb Yudel when and if he rescued Rufo. He got onto his big brown horse and he rode quietly through the streets. He wasn't looking to attract any attention from anyone. He rode until he entered into the big, thick forest that led to the forbidding monastery building. He stopped his horse about a quarter of a mile away from the big monastery. He didn't want his horse to attract any attention. He tied it to a tree, and he walked the rest of the way. Finally, Shraga came to the edge of the forest. He looked out, and he saw the tall iron gate surrounding the entire building. He had been here before, but never late at night, and never to try to rescue a Yiddish boy. He said another tefillah to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he approached the gate. Looking in all directions, he saw that there was no one around. All was quiet, except for the cold winter winds. He carefully climbed up the gate and jumped down to the other side. Although he knew that the Galochim slept on the third floor, he wasn't sure that everyone was sleeping yet. He slowly approached the big stone building. He needed to get into the building without being noticed.
Ah, a good drink after a long day never hurt anyone, especially a hard-working man like me. Why does Sir Luke always scream at me? A good drink after a good drink helps wash down the first one. Ooh, I better be quiet. Sir Luke doesn't like when I drink.
Meanwhile, outside, Shraga tiptoed closer and closer to the last window on the left side of the building until he was right outside the room that Rufo was being kept in. Softly and slowly, he took the small hammer that he had brought along. And he waited. He wrapped the hammer in a piece of cloth so that the noise shouldn't be too loud. As the next large gust of wind blew, he closed his eyes and he smashed the window.
Paul! Get in here!
Yes, sir, Luke.
Are you drinking again?
Of course, sir. I mean, of course not. Absolutely. Never. Not me. No, I don't drink.
I just heard a glass break. What was that?
Oh, you're just hearing things again.
Don't tell me I'm hearing things. I know what I heard. Which reminds me, I'm getting sick and tired of that boy stubbornly refusing to even listen to me. I think that I have to be a little more forceful. Maybe we need the whip.
But didn't you say we can't lose ourselves? And let ourselves get angry.
I am not angry.
You look a little angry.
How dare you? I am not angry.
So why are you screaming at me?
I'm not screaming. Go down and check on the boy and make sure he's okay.
Meanwhile, outside the monastery, Shraga was standing here, trembling. Did someone hear the glass break? He waited, and then he stuck his head into the deep room, and he saw Rafal. Rafal was crying on the floor. He was especially scared by the broken glass and by the face of a man looking into the window.
The Shagistarya sent me to save you.
Rafal was confused. Shraga took a thick, strong rope from his bag, and he quickly tied it to the frame of the broken window, and he began to slowly lower himself down into the room. Upon coming to the floor, he whispered to the frightened Riffle,
"The Shaggist Argy told me to tell you. Toast, La'ilam, Khizir."
Riffle immediately understood. That was the last Gemara that he had learned with the Heilige Shaggist Arya.
"I'm here to save you. Come, hold on to my shoulders."
Shraga put Riffle on his shoulders. Without making a sound, he motioned for Riffle to be very quiet, and they began climbing back up to the broken window. Meanwhile, inside the cloister, on the third floor.
"A good drink, two good drinks, maybe three, and then I'll go check on the boy. After all, I need my strength to get downstairs and back up, so a couple of good drinks should do it." "Let me sit down here and just finish this bottle. Just hit the spot." "I have to go and take another check on the..."
Shraga and Riffle came outside into the freezing winter night. Shraga untied the rope from the window, and they began to walk slowly and quietly towards the big black iron gate. Shraga helped Riffle onto his shoulders, and he lifted him to the top of the gate. Riffle then jumped down to the other side. Then Shraga climbed up, and he too jumped to the other side. Shraga held Rufal's hand, and they quickly but very quietly walked back into the forest.
"Riffle, the Shaggist Arya told me to tell you that it's not safe for you to come back to his house. I'm going to take you to the city of Troyes, to the house of an Erlicha farmer, Reb Yudel. He's going to have to take care of you from now on."
Although Riffle was sad that he wouldn't be seeing the Shaggist Arya anymore, he was happy to be freed. Shraga and Riffle got onto the big horse, and they rode for a few hours. By the time it was almost morning, they arrived to the city of Troyes, which is about 30 miles west of Metz. Shraga brought Riffle to the home of Reb Yudel.
"Good morning, Shalom Aleichem. Who are you?"
"My name is Shraga. I have come from Metz. I have a letter from the Shaggist Arya for you."
"Oh, what is this? Let me see. So the Shaggist Arya wants me to take care of Fulke. This must be Riffle."
"Yes, this is Riffle."
"Shalom Aleichem. Riffle, you will stay by me. I will take care of everything. I'm so happy that you are here."
"Riffle, you're in good hands. I'm sorry that I have to go, but I'm sure everything will be okay. Reb Yudel will take good care of you, and everything's going to be okay. Sei gebenched."